Well, good morning again, saints. I thank the Lord for this opportunity again to share about the Lord as our great shepherd. So let's just read some scriptures again to start, please. John chapter 10. And we'll start with verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, and if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In Isaiah 53, I'll just read verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And Psalm 23, of course. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then finally, Ephesians chapter 3, starting with verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, how we thank you so much for our time today, our time of worship. Lord, that time at the table that you have brought us together to remember you. Thank you, Lord, that you are our great shepherd. And Lord, you have just done all things for us, Lord, for your name's sake, that is because of who you are, Lord. We pray that as we continue to share in the psalm, you would reveal more of your love for us. Lord, be my enabling. I pray that you would guide our time now by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We didn't get very far last week. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And that's where we stopped. But saints, this is so rich. Just to review very quickly, indeed, the Lord is my shepherd. What a proclamation, what a joyous thing for us to be able to do. And to know him in fullness, that's my burden. That as we come together and consider this word, that in knowing more about what a shepherd did back then, we truly would be able to comprehend more of his love for us. And that the picture of a shepherd back then was truly one of a life laid down for the sheep. And as the shepherd did so much for the sheep, a while back, the Lord just put on my heart, you know, it is so easy to trust the Lord for our souls. But is it easy to trust the Lord with the day-by-day things, those little things that we know that we should be giving to him, that we should be surrendering to him? And so what the Lord touched my heart with was, yes, indeed, we can give all of those things to the Lord. Yes, we can trust him, for his love for us is as that shepherd, undying, ever vigilant over us, ever caring for us. So that's what the Lord had on my heart, is this burden to share, that we would know what a shepherd did, that we also, saints, would know that we indeed are sheep, and that as sheep of the flock, that is so much like, we are so much like those sheep. So dependent upon the Lord, so fickle, so in need of someone to guide us. Praise God, he will do that for us. So, we talked last week, as I said, the Lord is my shepherd, and what a wonderful declaration that is. I shall not want, meaning that he will indeed be our everything, make that full provision for us. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We talked about just how precious a sight that is for the shepherd to see the sheep at peace, that they would not lie down as animals if there were fear in their midst. If there was friction within the flock, they would not lie down. If they were tormented, if they were hungry. And we talked about how the Lord deals with each one of those in our lives as well as in the sheep. One thing that is precious that I overlooked last week in terms of making me to lie down in green pastures was the picture of the shepherd. We know in scriptures the Lord says he is the gate. But saints, sometimes back in those days in the hill countries, the sheep were gathered at night in kind of rocky areas that were outlined with rocks, rather. And the shepherd would drive the sheep in there by night and would actually lie down across that opening. And what is that a picture of? But how the Lord laid down his life to save those sheep from the predators that would be in their midst. So what a wonderful picture that is. Just another illustration in this psalm of the extent to which the Lord just simply is the gate and is the way and is our protector. So that's the review. And tonight, or today rather, he leads me beside still waters. So that's where we start today. So, we know that for us, as well as for sheep, water determines vitality and strength. and vigor of the animals. Likewise for us. Without proper amounts of water, the sheep will become weak and impoverished. Without water, if the sheep continue to be thirsty, the sheep will become restless, and they will do anything to seek out water. They will drink any kind of water they can get when they're thirsty. If they're not led to good water, sheep don't have good sense, and they will drink polluted water. I can remember my mother telling me about our dog when I was a kid. I was worried about her drinking out of mud puddles. And my mother said, "Don't worry, God has given animals a sense that they won't drink anything that's polluted." Well, according to Keller in this book, sheep don't know any better, and they will drink things that will make them sick. So if they drink from those potholes that are filled with parasites, filled with pollution, whatever the case might be, bad things can happen to the sheep. Germs can get in. The sheep will actually become wasted away. They can get disease. So that's the picture of the sheep needing clear water, clean water. And we know that in those days that there were three main sources of water for the flock: dew on the grass, deep wells, and then springs or streams. For the dew on the grass, that's a wonderful picture of how the shepherd is out well before dawn with the sheep, making sure that the fields are clear, there's no predators there, and that the sheep can graze safely on that dew that's filled with grass. The grass combined with the water there just is such a picture of wonderful contentment. The sheep don't have to seek any more water because of the dew that's there, so they can eat, they can graze, they can lie down in peace, they can ruminate, they can just be peaceful. And as was pointed out, one of the shepherd's goals is to have the sheep gain weight, and they can do that because they're not agitated and they can just be at peace. Well, what do we know about dew? Late in the morning, it disappears. The sun comes up and burns the dew off the grasses. So, as a picture to us, we know how the Lord blesses us when we seek Him early. Isn't that a precious sight? How He does desire to feed us in that morning time. So, saints, that's one thing that we should really pray about in terms of our walk with the Lord, to be able to spend that time with Him. The second source was from wells. We know that wells were pretty deep back then, and the amount of work that it took for the shepherd to draw the water from the wells was huge. Can you imagine bucket after bucket after bucket drawing enough water to make a flock content? But that speaks of, again, the shepherd's labor of love for us. We know that the sheep also drank from streams. And where the streams were, basically, this is where the shepherd really had to be very vigilant over the sheep. Because, again, if they could sense that water and the way that they were going, if the path, if you will, was kind of muddied, if it was filled with little potholes that had water in it, filled with the pollution of the animals, again, we know that the shepherd had to lead the sheep. He had to move them along so they wouldn't stop to drink that water that was impure. But he had to keep them moving. He had to lead them towards those fresh streams, so that the life-giving water, the pure water, rather than the water that could cause sickness, would be the water that the sheep would be able to reach. So that work caused for real true diligence on the shepherd's part, not just leading, but looking back over the flock to make sure that there were those that had not stopped along the way to kind of take the easy way out, to take a shortcut. And in so doing, drink polluted water and become sick. Well, the parallel to us, very simply, is that saints, we take shortcuts, don't we? To do things the easy way. The scary thing is that we may enter into things thinking that, this can't possibly hurt me. This looks so nice on the outside, so pretty on the outside. It can't possibly hurt me. But before we know it, we know that we have kind of gotten in over our head. We've been tempted, like the sheep, to taste something that was impure. And sure enough, we get into trouble. We see in James chapter 1 a parallel. James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Started with that temptation to take the easy way. And as we consider shepherding as a company, another parallel is the scene in Hebrews. Chapter 3, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we see how easy it is to enter into sin, and then we see what sin does. It deceives us, and it makes our heart hard for the Lord. But thank the Lord, He has provided a way if we keep our eyes on the shepherd. Verse 3, He restores my soul. Keller pointed out, this is the story of the cast sheep, okay, or a cast down sheep. It's a precious part of this book. A cast sheep is basically one that has fallen down and can't get up again. It's actually kind of rolled over on its back. And if you can visualize, the sheep can't right itself. So the sheep is lying there with its on its back, could have lied down, been asleep perhaps on a little depression in the ground. Sheep could roll over, and then before you know it, that center of gravity is kind of shifted. So now the sheep's feet are in the air, and the sheep is kind of pitiful, okay? Doesn't have the strength to right itself. And what can happen then, the sheep would flail around, become panicked, just try to get back up, but the way sheep are made, they just can't right themselves. So if the weather is very hot, the sheep will die in a matter of hours just because they're cast down. If it's cooler and cooler weathers, the picture is not much prettier. But the death can linger for a few days, because unless the sheep get help, it still is not in a position to right itself. So they die a painful death anyway. So that's one reason that sheep can become cast down. They just roll over. They just can't get up because they're, in this case, kind of bottom heavy, upside down, if you will, top heavy. Other reasons, the sheep have long woolen coats. Now, if those long woolen coats get heavy, wet, that would be more weight, and again, because of the spindly legs that sheep have, they can't right themselves because of the weight of their coats. Wool is heavy when it's wet, right? So can you imagine trying to do that if you're a sheep? It's just impossible. Sheep can also become cast if they're carrying lambs, Okay, ewes that are pregnant can become cast. And that requires even more diligence on the shepherd's part. Because there, if the shepherd loses that sheep, he's lost the lambs as well. So that was a special case where shepherds had to be ever diligent. So, in terms of the shepherd, again, if you can visualize constant vigilance on the shepherd's part, constant care, constant awareness of what the sheep are doing, looking over the flock to see that they're all accounted for. And if they're not, then the shepherd would drop what he was doing, if you will, and then go find that cast sheep. When he finds the cast sheep, then he has to right it, but he can't just plop it up on its feet. The shepherd has to work to massage the legs of the sheep so that circulation will come back to the limbs and then be able to support it. So gradually, it was a matter of that, the shepherd's work, getting the sheep ready to bear its own weight again before it could finally walk again. Implications for us. Well, if the sheep can fall so easily, saints, and we are sheep, can't we fall easily as well? The Lord has made provision. Look in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's one way the Lord restores us. He is ever faithful, ever ready to hear those prayers of confession. And he does that because he loves us. So as we've heard many times, we just need to keep those short lists with the Lord. And when the Lord convicts us of sin, confess that and be forgiven and be restored. Beautiful illustration in Scripture is the way the Lord restored Peter. So if we can take a few minutes to consider that together. We know that Peter denied the Lord three times and was convicted of what he had done. He went out and wept bitterly. But thank God, the story didn't end there with Peter. The Lord met him and restored our dear brother. And I think this is so wonderful that Paul in 1 Corinthians was describing the way the Lord reached out to Peter. Talking about the Lord, he said he was buried and that he rose again the third day, this is in 1 Corinthians 15, according to Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12. So it's as if the Lord had that special place in his heart for Peter, that he knew that brother needed that special restoration. In Luke, we're told also those that were on the road to Emmaus, after they had had that time with the Lord and they were saying, didn't our hearts burn within us? Do you remember that? In chapter 24, after that section, it says, and they arose, got up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. So it was known that the Lord reached out to Peter and had that special time with him as a way to restore that brother from all that he felt from denying the Lord. And then we know the story of when they had disciples had gone fishing. And I'm going to read from Darby from John 21. Again, this is that special time that the Lord had with Peter. When therefore they had dined, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He says to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. He says to him, Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. He says to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I am attached to thee. He says to him, Shepherd my sheep. He says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, art thou attached to me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Art thou attached to me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I am attached to thee. And Jesus answered him, Feed my sheep. So not only was that special time given between the Lord and Peter, but we see the Lord's shepherd heart not only for Peter and reaching out to one that needed that restoration, but his heart was for the work that Peter would do as well for the flock. Precious picture of the Lord restoring our soul. We also see in the parable of the lost sheep how we were cast down and the Lord found us. In Matthew 18, we have a precious picture here, saints, of the way the Lord worked. Matthew 18, verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which was gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over that sheep than over the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I think it's important to consider that when this was written and the Lord went after that lost sheep, it's not like the sheep was hiding somewhere in a corner of a nice green pasture. But the shepherd had to go and seek that sheep out. Could have fallen into a real deep depression. Could have been ruts that the sheep was hidden in. Could have fallen over the side of the pasture down towards a riverbank. Could have gotten lodged in briars, brambles, as sheep were wont to do. So in thinking about that lost sheep, think about how the Lord found you. When I think about how the Lord worked in my life to bring me to himself, it's just amazing. And I think all of us can testify to the Lord's love. I first heard about the Lord when I was, I believe, in the eighth grade. And it wasn't until I was in college that I gave my life to the Lord. But looking back on that time, praise God, he never let me go. He didn't give up. And I'm sure that each one of us can say with rejoicing hearts how the Lord did not give up on me and on you as well. What a precious picture that is of the Lord's love. Forgive me. I can't see now for some reason. But precious is our great shepherd who seeks those lost sheep. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As our brother points out in the book, sheep are notorious creatures of habit. Left alone, they'll graze until the grass is completely gone from the pasture. Then the sheep will dig down, paw down, and get the roots out of the pasture, and even eat the roots, so that the sheep actually destroy the pasture land. So by grazing over and over in the same spots with no grass, all the sheep there, if you can visualize a flock that's not under the attentive care of a good shepherd, but left to graze in that kind of flock, the sheep would pollute the ground. They would walk through their own waste. That would lead to the sheep becoming more disease-ridden and filled with parasites. So here again, without that constant care that the shepherd would have, the land would become ruined and the sheep would become thin and wasted. The shepherd, therefore, had to move the flock continually. He had to be aware of how much was being grazed and basically lead the sheep to another grazing area. And it wasn't just a matter of picking up the flock and moving them down the street. It wasn't that easy. The new areas had to be found, and once found, the shepherd had to go into those areas and make sure that there were no poisonous plants in there that could harm the sheep. So it's a matter of that aspect of going before the flock is what was pointed out in the book. Again, a precious picture of how the Lord goes before us. But without that shepherd's care, the sheep would just sit there and stubbornly eat those roots and so on. So when we think about the parallel to ourselves, we are prone to falling into our own old habits as well. We know that our strength is very strong, and we cling to our old ways sometimes in spite of ourselves. We know better, but we also know Romans chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So the Lord's work in our habits, folks, thank God, the work that he does is a continual work. We have been set free from the power of sin over us. Verse 11 in that same chapter, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in its lusts. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So the Lord indeed has done it all in terms of releasing us from sin, releasing us from those habits. Even though when our flesh would continue in sin, God's grace will abound for us. Folks, we can stand on that. Thank the Lord for that. I had another illustration. Chip and Scott used to listen to Don Francisco I don't know if many of you know Don Francisco, but he had a song called Adam, Where Are You? And the song initially or essentially tells the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. And basically it talks of Adam and Eve being in sin and being prisoners. And I'd like to read you that last lyric. God is speaking to Adam. Adam, Adam, where are you? And though the curse has long been broken, Adam's sons are still the prisoners of their fears, rushing helter-skelter to destruction with their fingers in their ears. While the Father's voice is calling with an urgency I've never heard before, won't you come in from the darkness now before it's time to finally close the door? Isn't that precious? This song ends with, Adam, Adam, where are you? And then, Adam, Adam, I love you. But again, thinking about how so many times when we're led astray and want to do what we want to do rather than what we know we should do, we just run helter-skelter with our fingers in our ears. But thank the Lord, He doesn't give up on us. Old habits are hard to break, but not in the power of the Holy Spirit. So if the Lord has laid something on our hearts that we know is not pleasing in His sight, we know we have to take that to the cross. Easier said than done many times because we don't like the cross, but thank the Lord He's made that way for us. Another one of my favorite little books is Christ in Life by Robert Speer. It's an older book. And here, just like to read a section on habits. It's important to keep in mind that habits are formed not at one stroke, but gradually and insensibly. So that unless vigilant care be employed, a great change may come over the character without our being conscious of any. Read that again. Great change may come over the character without our being conscious of any, meaning any change. It just happens so gradually. Another section, he says, the diminutive chains of habit, the small chains of habit, are seldom heavy enough to be felt until they're too strong to be broken. The small chains of habit are seldom heavy enough to be felt till they are too strong to be broken. So may the Lord free us from habits. May the Lord free us from bad habits, but make us have good habits that we know are pleasing in His sight. The Good Shepherd does lead us into those paths of righteousness. He doesn't drive us. He leads us in loving ways, and we are to follow. In Mark, we're told, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 18, we're told of the Lord's yoke. I am meek. Let's turn to that. Matthew 11. And verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Again, when we surrender those things to the Lord, we know that He is faithful. He leads us. He doesn't drive us. And as we consider in our time together shepherding, we do need to pray for each other. I debated to tell us this story, but I want to share this with you as an encouragement to dads, okay? Once upon a time, as many of you know, Marcia and I had three teenagers at home. We were kind of outnumbered. Thank the Lord for prayers of husbands for wives and wives for husbands. But I remember those were very challenging times for us as a couple. You know my kids. I'm not going to say names and tales too, but one particular time, one of my sons and I had kind of a misunderstanding, it seems. Misunderstanding about who had the authority and who was the child, if you get my drift. So I was enlightening him about his shortcomings, if you will. And as it turns out, just about everything I said, he deflected back at me. So I would make a comment about his behavior. He would come back with a reply about my behavior, if you can imagine. So I finally got exasperated, really let the situation get out of hand, and I confess. And I gave him some rather firm directions on what he needed to do to change that behavior. And then I decided, you know what this young man needs is a little bit of military discipline. So I finished my diatribe with, "Are there any questions?" And I looked at him, and he looked up at me, and he got real close to me, saints. He put his chin right here, and he looked up at me like that. He said, "Yeah, I got a question." I said, "All right, what's your question?" He said, "Dad, did you know your nose hairs have gone way past gray to white?" That was the question. And I stood there, and I thought, boy, spare the rod, spoil the child. I really don't want you to be spoiled. But thank the Lord, what he enabled me to see in an instant was that I was not leading my son. I was driving him. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I didn't say that to be funny, but as parents, it's not easy. And as we consider parenting and we consider each other in shepherding, saints, we need to pray for one another in very real ways that the Lord's life would be displayed from parent to child all of the time. I believe if we surrender that aspect of parenting to the Lord, he will really bless that. Thank the Lord, the story ended well with my son. I was able to, we were able to have a gentler discussion, and the Lord has restored what I did in error back in those days. Thank the Lord, he did restore. There is repentance and forgiveness and restoration. And I thank the Lord that he, as my shepherd, was faithful to show me that, and that my son could see the love of the shepherd that way as well. So the Lord does lead us in those paths of righteousness. Psalms 119 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So praise God. He does restore our soul. He leads in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. And I guess I'd like to end with that today, for his name's sake. It's not anything that we are worthy of, But saints, he does this for us for his name's sake, because it's who the Lord is. It's his great love. The way he lays his life down for us, the way he shows us his way when we are open to his way. So our prayer should be, my prayer has been, that the Lord would continually show me more and more of his ways. That as we press on to know him more, it's fine to surrender every bit of our lives to that loving Heavenly Father, that great shepherd, because he cares for us in ways that we can't even imagine. So, God help us, and let's pray. Lord, how we thank you that you do love us and that you do care for us in such wonderful ways. Thank you, Lord, that you do not let us go. Lord, that you have sought after us as that lost sheep. Lord, that you have restored our souls when we are downtrodden. Lord, like that good shepherd, you are ever vigilant to care for us and to love us. Do continue to teach us, Lord, in thy precious name. Amen.